Packing for Mars. It's about time to do that, I would say, here. And this is The Curious Science of Life in the Void. And Mary Roach has written it, and she's a very entertaining writer. And it's about really what we got to go through. And we got to start thinking about Mars now. And, you know, the Russians, just they're putting a hotel in orbit. So, you know, you go all the way, you go into space and you find a Russian hotel. Really, it's not the, you know, the greatest destination probably in space. But Mary Roach probably has more to say about that. She's on the line with us from Oakland. Hello, Mary.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm good. Let me ask you this, Mary. Vaginal weightlifting in space. Easier or harder?
Useless. Absolutely useless. Waste of money.
A waste of money.
Don't waste your money on it. No.
Oh, okay. I'm not even going to ask what it is. I have no idea what it is, but I know you did do some writing on this.
Do you want me to tell you about?
No, I don't think so.
Really?
Aww. I'd rather keep the mystique on that whole. Is it a competitive sport? I'm just going to.
I still have the weight. I use it as a paperweight, a paperweight on my desk. It's quite handsome.
Okay, moving right along here now. Well, there is, of course, sex in space is one of the questions that keeps coming up here, and we don't actually know if actually there has been, I assume there has been, sex in space.
Well, I don't know about that. I tried awfully hard to get to the bottom of that.
Did you?
I even went to the extreme, well, not really an extreme, but I couldn't get anybody who's an astronaut or a cosmonaut to admit to it. So I thought, well, it doesn't. To me, it doesn't really have to be in space. Zero gravity. See, that would be interesting to me. Zero gravity, and you can do that on Earth in those planes. You know, where you pay $5,000.
Yeah.
And you go on one of those flights where you're weightless for 20 seconds at a time.
Have you
and
done that?
I did do that. Yeah.
Yeah. But you didn't do the other thing while you were doing that.
No, they frown on that.
Wow.
So I didn't. I did not. And it would be a little. You know, you have 20 seconds at a time, and then you come back down.
That's all I need. I don't know about you.
and then you've got double gravity, where you both would weigh twice as much. So that could be uncomfortable, depending on the weights of the two participants.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's where the remorse sets in anyhow. So that would be good, I think, in that situation. But there is like the three dolphin club that you mentioned. Now, is that a Russian thing, or who came up with that?
No, that the three dolphin club was this was a rumor, kind of an internet hoax.
Oh, it's a hoax.
A hoax that NASA had spent taxpayer dollars figuring out, using one of those big swimming pool tanks where they train astronauts. You know, they float around in water instead of in the air. Mm-hmm. And there was this rumor that they paid used taxpayer dollars to investigate the best sexual positions in zero gravity.
Zero gravity. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. And what they had determined was that, as with dolphins, mm-hmm. it helps to have a third party to push in the right place
with a snout.
At the right time.
A third party with a snout. Nice.
Well, the snout was not deemed to be absolutely necessary in the case of humans, but if you want to do that, that's fine.
But when you think about it, now you went to the Japanese facilities and you've been to the Russian space facilities and right and NASA.
Yep.
And have you been to the Chinese facility?
I have not been to the Chinese. I wanted to go there.
That'd be cool.
That'd be cool. I was told that it would probably, I wouldn't get very far. I just thought, you know, I start my books with this sense of kind of dopey optimism where I think, well, I'll just sort of show up at the door and they'll invite me in and, you know. Serve me some dim sum and away we go. But
yeah.
I later found out that probably wasn't going to happen. So,
but you know, I think just in this sex, I mean, with the Japanese are not going to allow, you know, sex in space, right? Because they run a tight ship.
They are. You never know with the Japanese. The Japanese have. My last book was about had to do with sex research. Mm-hmm. And when I was over promoting my book, mm-hmm. I learned some interesting things. They have, they actually have a, you can pay money to go into a simulated crowded subway car. You know, they have very crowded subway cars, and you can pick out who you want to be, the people standing in front of you or behind you as your prep. So that was a surprise to me. So I'm not so sure about that.
Okay. But they do, I mean, in other areas of the Japanese program, I mean, you know, everybody has developed these programs, and NASA has, yeah, for years, been doing these astronaut training and screening kinds of things, but the Japanese seem to have taken it to the extreme.
Yeah, I was over there when they were choosing two new astronauts, and they had the 10 finalists in a kind of an isolation chamber, sort of, you know, a make-believe spaceship situation. Mm-hmm. And the day that I was there, I didn't really know what to expect. I kind of assumed that they'd create this simulated emergency, where they have, say, a fire in the sleeping quarters. Well, what will you do? You know, pressure's on. But in fact, they had them doing origami. It was called the 1,000 cranes test, and between the 10 of them, they had to do 1,000 paper cranes. And I thought, well, what does this have to do with being an astronaut? But in fact, today's astronaut does a lot of sort of repetitive, tedious chores, right, and you have to maintain accuracy under pressure,
right,
and you've got to be, you know, stick to your task. So in a way, it was kind of a good test.
Yes, and you have to fold and no cutting.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's sort of difficult to picture John Glenn.
Yes.
Folding paper cranes. But
I was going to say that, or Gus Grissom.
Yeah.
We had enough trouble, let alone folding.
Yeah. Now the recommended astronaut attributes include things like sense of humor, flexibility, fairness, ability to form stable and quality interpersonal relationships.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They're, you know, you need to play well with others.
Right, and eat all your food. The Japanese look to see if they eat all your food on your plate, and don't hide your chicken skin.
Yes, that was what they had this. Yeah, after they ate a meal, each candidate, each of the finalists would put their dishes back in a little container with their number on it, their letter rather, and then those containers would be secreted away and photographed, and they would look at how tidy they were and what. And yes, there was one candidate who didn't eat his chicken skin. And had cleverly tried to hide the chicken skin under the miso soup bowl. He didn't get chosen in the end. So perhaps that was an important. That one was beyond me. I wasn't quite sure.
Yeah. Do we actually have a space program anymore, or an astronaut program? Because we seem to have abandoned.
Yeah. Let me know if you find it.
Yeah, we're supposed to go back to the moon because Bush was talking about that a few years ago, and that seems to have gone away.
That's right. Years and years of. Work went into the moon base. We were going to have a base on the moon where there'd be a constant presence. People would be up there doing research, and it'd be sort of a staging area for Mars. But that was deemed, well, it had problems with the launch rocket. Was apparently not up to snuff. And there were, it's been canceled. Yeah, we're not going back to the moon. God knows where we're going. I don't know where we're going. They're saying near-Earth asteroid, but the budget hasn't been approved. It's been almost, it'll be a year in spring.
Yeah.
And so all these people are...
See, an asteroid doesn't have the same, you know, panache.
No, but at least it's different. I think people...
It will land on an asteroid by the end of the decade.
Yeah, I know. It's like the Little Prince, wasn't he on it? He's like, the Little Prince can do it. I don't know.
Yeah. So that's still up in the air, I guess. But Mars is supposedly down the line somewhere.
Yeah, it's still out there. It's still down the line. There's no date set. I mean, even before, we were looking at 2038 at the earliest. So, you know, I don't know if it happened in my lifetime. I'm getting a little long in the tooth, so I don't know. We'll see.
We have conceded the moon to the Chinese. The Chinese are taking over the moon.
The Chinese are taking over the moon. Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody told me
that they, I don't know if this had happened already, but there was a plan afoot. They were going to form the a chapter of the Chinese Communist Party in space. See?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how I feel about that. I guess it's all right. You know, but there must be something there is what I'm thinking. The Chinese are doing it. Either the resources or a potential market.
There are resources, but it's incredibly expensive to be setting up a construction site on the moon, which was really what we were doing. I was over at, when I was at Johnson Space Center, they actually had a rover, a moon rover with a bulldozer blade, an adjustable bulldozer blade on the front of it. I mean, we were really going to be setting up, you know, like in Antarctica, those bases that they have with a, you know, kind of look like an old, like a West Virginia mining town, sort of like very basic little modular structures in Antarctica. That's sort of what we were going to do on the moon. And there's things to be extracted there, but just I think I can't imagine making a profit after after you figure in all of the expenses.
Yeah. Would you stay in a Russian hotel in space?
I've been to Russia.
Yeah.
I've used the toilet paper when there is toilet paper, and that's not all that often. So,
that's a frightening thought, isn't it? Really think about it. It's bad enough having them on the space thing there, the lab, whatever that's called.
Yeah. Your Wi-Fi is just never going to work if it's anything like my hotel.
Yeah, and because of their behavior, for one thing, the Russians definitely drink in space.
A cosmonaut showed me a delightful photograph of the three cosmonauts floating in zero gravity, of course, floating around this metal sphere, kind of bolted together with little tubes coming out, kind of like teenagers sharing a mall.
It's like Wisconsin. We have the same thing. You wear it on your cap.
With 5 liters of cognac. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're a little more rough and tumble up there. I was told that on Mir, the old Soviet space lab, that they used to settle arguments with a friendly fist fight. I like that term. It's just a friendly fist fight.
Yeah.
Don't be alarmed.
It's pretty impressive in space, I bet. When you hit a guy, he travels, 20 feet.
Yeah, there's that whole...
You think you're really hit a guy.
But. Yeah, right. Who travels farther backward? I mean, you share the impact, so I think it's harder to bloody somebody's nose in zero gravity.
Right. It's like the sex thing. Same thing.
It's like the sex thing.
Yeah.
Exactly. You're pushing each other apart, but who's really the winner in that? It's really... Yeah, I would love to see that. That should be a new sport.
Yeah. And then hibernating bears in space.
Yes. It seemed to me that, this might take a little to explain to people, but there's a big problem when you're weightless. Your body starts to just figure, well, you're not using this skeleton very much, so we can just take it apart. You won't be needing that. So bone loss is a big problem.
Oh, yeah, bone loss, right.
And bears, bears hibernate for months at a time.
Mm-hmm.
They basically lie in... Don't use their skeletons, and but they don't have a problem with bone loss because they've adapted this way where they reapply the bone minerals to their bones. It's a very neat trick. So if we, in thinking of a Mars mission, actually bears would be excellent candidates. I'm not sure about the origami. They would probably have difficulties with the origami, but they would be a good candidate.
Yeah, bears are Russians. They're Russian bears.
Russian bears, yes, and it would be perfect, yes. There was actually somebody, when they were doing these studies, there was some suspicion that it was something sort of symbolic Russian, it was sort of sending bears into space, because the Russians are sending bears, and so it was this Russian, somebody was coming, it was a race to send the first bear into space, which is, I'm here to say it's not true.
Yeah. Plus, bears can recycle their urine. So you don't have to get up 3 times during it. I mean, that would be ideal.
Yes, the bear, I know.
Even
on
Earth, if they could figure out how they do that.
I want to learn how to do that.
Yeah. And then, the usual things about, at some point, some of us are going to be living in space or living on other orbiting orbs of various types or asteroids, what have you. And then the usual things that we do are much more difficult. And the classic one, of course, is the toilet. I don't know how if the Russians have mastered that, but at one point didn't the NASA came up with a wearing blender that you sit on?
It was a toilet that had a blender blade basically, and it would you turn on the blade, and the blade was disconcertingly, it was like 6 inches from your anatomy. So you had to be a little careful.
Yeah.
It would sort of macerate the stuff. It would, puree, probably a better verb, puree. It would puree, and it would fling it onto the sides of the toilet. But the problem is then it was exposed to the vacuum of space, and it would freeze, but little bits would they'd break off, and then you had these little bits flying around, and it's zero gravity, remember. So every now and then one of them, as you floated off the toilet, it would follow you along into the spacecraft, so you had what was called an escapee. And
that's worse than dragging the toilet paper.
It's way worse.
Yeah. Have they mastered that yet, or they should be thinking about these things?
No, there's still a rear view mirror on the space shuttle toilet, so you can check to make sure nobody's
coming. A rear view mirror on the toilet?
There is. I saw it on the mock-up. They've got a little toilet, space shuttle toilet training room at the Johnson Space Center.
Did you go through any of this training yourself?
I sure did.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What'd they make you do?
Well, the most humbling experience is something called the positional trainer. Mm-hmm. This is a device. It's basically a toilet bowl with a video camera in it pointing toward you, toward your anatomy, and then it's a closed circuit TV, and the monitor is right there on the wall to your left. So
and they must enjoy that in the booth, I bet.
Yeah. You do hope that there's only the one monitor when you're sitting there.
Oh, are you kidding?
Yeah, don't tell me that.
That's online. I've seen it.
Oh.
You look very good, actually. Surprising.
It's a view that you've never had before. Something, you know, you have quite an intimate knowledge of, but you've never really seen.
And what is this training exactly?
Okay, the training is, the space toilets have a much smaller opening. It's only like 4 inches in diameter, so aim is important. And your angle of approach is important because you're not sitting down, you're just hovering in close proximity, and you got to make sure you're. It's sort of a docking maneuver,
Well, a lot of women do that already. They actually don't sit on it; they hover over it.
They hover, and you can't be in this case spraying the seat or doing it. If you got your number two situation, you're at risk of plugging up the air holes. I mean, a space toilet, it's like a shop vac. It's air.
Can we talk about something else now? I mean, this is the only training you did was on the toilet?
No, I did some other things, but this one is more entertaining.
Well, for you, I don't know. I've heard about enough of these space toilet anecdotes. I don't know. It makes you not want to go. I mean, in space. I can't imagine going into space. I don't know. They say space tourism now is going to be a big deal. And Branson, I know, is working on something. And there's some group in Barcelona now that's saying they're going to have a hotel, orbiting hotel. And
you wouldn't want to go?
Going on a cruise is bad enough because you're stuck with all these people, you know, while you're on the boat for a week or 2 weeks or whatever. You know, but in orbiting in space and you can't leave. You can't go on the fantail or something, you know.
Well, that's true.
You're stuck with these people in close proximity.
Well, I think they'd be smart to sell just a weekend visit. Because then,
suborbital, I could maybe do, you know.
Yeah, well, you should just try one of those zero gravity flights. You don't even need to go into space. The most fun part is the zero gravity, and you can do that.
Yeah.
For $5,000.
No, if I get up too fast, I get that. If I get up out of a chair too fast, I get that same thing. You know, your brain floats up and then crashes. So, all right, so there's no more right stuff. Did you do any other training besides the toilet stuff? What did they make you do? They put you on the centrifuge and whip you around?
I didn't get whipped around, no. And I was up. No, that sounds, seems, I'm, no, I didn't want to do that. Mm. Let's see, what else did I do? I was up in the Arctic. They were doing there's an island up there that's looks a lot like the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing a simulated 2-rover expedition, because when we were going to go back to the moon, there was going to be 2-week-long expeditions, you know, to collect samples and do science, and you'd have these rovers that were very much like little RVs. They even had, cup holders. There were 2 cup holders. Isn't it? I thought that was just...
On the moon rover?
On the moon rover, yeah. There were little RVs where it was a pressurized environment, and they had a little, you know, you could heat up food. They were so cute. They were like these little cute, adorable RVs. But I've spent time on an RV with my in-laws and my family, 8 people, and
it's not that cute.
2 weeks would be a little too much for me.
Yeah. And, you know, these guys who actually landed on the moon, I mean, they didn't know whether he'd be able to stick a flag on the moon's surface, right? This was a major achievement.
This was a major undertaking. We're talking months of planning.
Yeah. They didn't know if the flag would... The flag wouldn't unfurl.
Well, the flag, they thought... Yeah, okay, there's no atmosphere, there's no breezes on the moon, and so that's going to look really undramatic and unpatriotic to just have this, you know, inglorious droop. So they had to add a telescoping crossbar so that it isn't actually a flag, it's sort of a small patriotic curtain up there. The other thing is that it may, in all likelihood, it's not even standing anymore, because they had no idea when they went to the moon how much dust there was. Was it 2 inches? Was it 2 feet? Could you even plant a flag in that stuff? Because no one had been there.
Right.
It went down about 6 inches, and it was barely standing. And Neil Armstrong has speculated that when the ascent module took off, the blast just knocked it over. Mm-hmm. So it's probably lying in the dust.
Well, the Chinese are going to trash it, you know that.
Chinese trample it.
It's good as replaced, anyhow. And the same thing for the golf shots. It's hard to figure out how to hit a nine.
Yeah, the golf. Yeah,
rough, you know.
Yeah, it's not an ideal golf course situation, no.
Well, it's a very fun book, and Packing for Mars is what it's called. It goes through all these studies, basically, of what you have to do to live in space, and something we should be thinking about if we're going to, you know, start doing this little tourism thing. Mary, I want to thank you.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Very enjoyable. Mary Roach, ladies and gentlemen, Packing for Mars.